been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. To go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just gonna try to cross the street. I'm gonna try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabot, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, this is John Sabot coming to you from Da Nang, Vietnam, and as you can probably tell, I'm on the beach again here, but a different beach today. Today I'm on T20 Beach, so I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the beaches here in this episode of the Far East Travels podcast, the beaches of Da Nang, and a little bit of the history of the American forces that were tied in and dubbed this China Beach. This was actually the China Beach. Now, China Beach was actually this whole strip of beach that starts at what they call Monkey Mountain, the peninsula from the very northern end of this part of the coastline, all the way basically to Hoi An. And this is where a lot of American forces did their R&R vacations, right here on this beach. And it was also home to the evacuation hospital, where wounded American soldiers would recover as well. So this is China Beach, made famous obviously by that TV series in the 90s. Was it the 90s or 80s? Jeez, I can't remember now. But anyways, this beach that I'm on right now is my afternoon beach, where I like to take a walk in the afternoon, because Mekhe Beach, the very famous strip where a lot of hotels are, and kind of it's more closer to the sort of commercial center of Da Nang City. They play music in the afternoon, I think starting around 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. And it's just a little bit distracting if you want to just go for a nice walk and listen to the ocean sounds. But this is something that they do every day. I don't know why they do it, but I suppose locals like it. And I was trying to think, you know, what is this music? Because it, to me, it almost sounded, when I first heard it, like kind of like Vietnamese elevator music. And there was some vocals as well. But today I went down there because I thought, well, you know, it's probably unlicensed music. And if I have a little bit of it in the background, I was going to do a portion of the podcast from the beach there just to give you sort of the atmosphere of what it's like to be there in the afternoon with that music playing. And I thought, well, it's probably like, if it's just kind of obscure Vietnamese elevator music, it's probably unlicensed, so I won't get into trouble if it's caught on the podcast. But today I went down there and I heard the unmistakable sound of Kenny G. And I thought to myself, that sounds like Kenny G. So I did a Shazam with my Shazam app, and sure enough, it was a Kenny G song that they were playing. Now, I don't know if he knows that they're playing his music on the beach here. But anyways, they were this afternoon. So I had to leave there and just come down to this beach. Now, this is a really nice beach. I have to say there's a little bit more trash here. I don't know why. There are actually a lot of really high-end resorts on this beach, but there is public access to this beach, so anybody can walk along this beach. And I see more activity on the weekends because I think a lot of Vietnamese tourists stay around here. There's some very, very nice resorts here. I think some of them might have some more longer-term guests, but a lot of these, I believe, are just resorts. And the one that I'm sitting in front of right now appears almost to be like there's nobody staying here. And the villa building that I'm directly in front of seems like it's abandoned almost, or at least there's nobody or no even caretaking going on there. And then if I was to walk further south down the beach here, I would eventually end up at the Hyatt Regency property, which is actually really quite striking. It's a beautiful series of villas and low-rise building. It's not like what you typically think of a Hyatt property, like a big tower or whatever. Actually, very beautiful. Fits right in with the beach and the whole landscape and that. And that is on this beach as well. So this is actually quite a nice beach to come down to if you don't want a lot of people around. Now, there's not a lot of swimming opportunity here. The beach, I understand, is not really good for swimming, although near the Hyatt, they have Vietnamese lifeguards down there, and there's a place where you can swim on the beach where they have lifeguards, and they have it all sort of cordoned off there for people that want to swim. Same thing on My Cay Beach, which is the bigger strip of beach. There are certain parts of it that you can't swim, and you have to really just kind of go where they have the barriers and the lifeguards to take care of you if you run into any trouble. Another beach that I explored the other day, which is really further up north, close to the Monkey Mountain Park, and Son Tra, I'm not pronouncing it right, but that is the Vietnamese name of that park, is home to a few different types of monkeys and also Slow Lorax as well, which is another really, looks like an amazing place to explore. And a mountain that takes about 4 hours, I believe, to climb up would be very taxing in tropical heat for sure. Maybe not in the summertime, but maybe when it cools down a little bit. But so the northern part of the beach is called Mantai Beach. And up there, it's more kind of local, like a lot of fishermen have their boats up there. And, you know, there's that sort of feel of a fishing village more up at that end. And it was really nice to go up there the other night and be there for around the sunset time and to see the fishermen being dropped off to go to work in the evening. And then when I was down at this beach last night, because I was working late and I just wanted to get out for a quick walk, and this beach was... I knew it. I wouldn't have any. I could just go come down here, and even if it was dark, you know, it'd be kind of quiet. So I came down to this beach in the evening, and I saw all these lights on the horizon, and those were fishing boats, and it was amazing because the whole horizon was just lit up. It shows you how many fishing boats are out there, how big this industry is. So. That's kind of in a nutshell the beaches here. There's tons to explore. The original, what the Americans called the China Beach, goes all the way to Hoi An. I've been down to that end as well. Ku Dai Beach and Ang Bang Beach are really nice beaches down in Hoi An that are well worth actually staying at if you were going to visit the ancient town of Hoi An. And see like a small group, looks like kind of a family, Vietnamese family that are just strolling up the beach probably here for the weekend. So this beach kind of does, the activity does pick up a little bit. I've noticed even in the town that does, activity does pick up a little bit on the weekend because we have Vietnamese tourists. But you can clearly see that this town or city has been very much affected, especially this part of the city that is very tourist-oriented, tourism-driven, by the pandemic, with the you know, the site of like this resort that I'm sitting in front of right now almost looks like it's like completely vacant. And then there's what appears to be kind of almost like a ghost, one of these kind of ghosts projects, these two big towers here on the beach that look like they've been sort of, they're like halfway finished. And there's a crane there. I hear sounds coming from there sometimes, but I don't see any activity there. And just walking around the sort of the beach town area, seeing some of the big seafood restaurants that just appear to be closed up, and also looking at some smaller restaurants that are doing delivery service through the delivery apps, but have actually closed their shop or their restaurant or cafe, so they're only doing delivery and they're not open to the public at all. I've noticed that as well. So, I mean, this town really would be one of the most effective of the bigger cities because of the reliance on tourism. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this in the last podcast when I was talking about Da Nang, but actually the airport is an international airport. So they, I mean, I can't remember. I mean, the first time I came here was in 2015, and I took a flight directly back from here to Taipei. So they have direct flights to almost every major city in East Asia and Southeast Asia, right direct from Da Nang. And they really kind of built the infrastructure up to draw in international tourists. And unfortunately, with the pandemic, it's kind of backfired on them. So they do have, obviously, Vietnamese tourism here, but it certainly cannot support the amount of properties that are here and infrastructure and that. You know, just by looking at how many places are available on Airbnb and in agoda.com for rooms, hotels, there's certainly just been real serious loss here as a result of the pandemic. So other than that, I'm just getting more used to the city, the layout of the city, and shopping and, you know, things to do. I'm also setting up a travel streaming agreement with somebody right now to do some live streaming for them for a series of actual seniors' homes, which is quite interesting, because the person that I'm working with is in the travel, has been in the travel business for many years, and set this up because of her her ailing mother that was in a home, and she wanted to do something because her mother was quite well educated and intellectual and was looking for more stimulation than what some of these homes offer. She set up this sort of travel network where people can travel virtually. So I'm working with this group right now, setting something up to do some live streaming from here and amount of other things. And I have a new YouTube video up right now that I wanted to share with you as well. And that is basically kind of on my wrap of what I learned from living in Ho Chi Minh City for the last couple of years. And so you can check that out on my YouTube channel, John Sabo on YouTube. And I also have started a 360 VR channel as well, just getting started. I just have a few videos up there right now. If you want to check that out on YouTube as well, that's available. And I also wanted to thank Rook42 for his wonderful podcast review in the iTunes store in the United States. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your kind words, and as well as the mention of the YouTube channel. And if you want to help others discover the Far East Travels podcast, you can do so by writing a review in the iTunes store, and I'll leave a link in the show notes. And also, if you want to support the podcast by becoming a patron, that always helps as well. And I will leave a link in the show notes as well, and you can check out the offers there. So thank you so much. And in the future, I wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi lele, peace from Da Nang, Vietnam.